Rabbi Mizrahi started TorahAnytime.com. I know a lot of people online who listen to Shira here. And he also runs a website called DivineInformation.com, where he has over a million viewers that come onto this website. So definitely feel free to go home and take a look at it. Does not need much of an introduction. Rabbi Mizrahi has spoken, helped thousands and thousands of Bali Tshuva, has spoken all over the world. Please welcome Rabbi Mizrahi.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here this afternoon with all of you. For the Hope organization, it's always encouraging to see one individual that cares about other people's pain and it decides to do something about it. Fulfilling the obligation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to every Jew, never ever to dare to be selfish or egoistic. There is a concept in Judaism that it's called Noseh Ba'ol Im Chavero. Your friend has a weight on his shoulder. It's not a privilege whether you are interested or not interested. It's an obligation to share the pain and the efforts with your friend. Take half of the pain, half of the weight on his shoulder, put it on yours, help him. Half and half, it gives hope, and you can tolerate the pain and the suffering. Before we explain the concept of sicknesses and suffering and how does it connect to hope for the future, we have to know one thing. Many people do not understand yet that the fact that they're living here in a body in this generation doesn't mean that this is the first time we are here. When we look at children, before they made even one sin in their life, that they receive X amount of suffering, right away, it raises a flag in our head and we begin to ask questions against HaKadosh Baruch Hu without realizing that we actually doing the wrong thing. Right away we begin to ask logical questions in our logic. Why this little kid deserves to get this suffering? If we see an adult that makes sins here and there, some more than the others, at least we have a logical explanation. We say, the Torah say, "Eni surim belo chet." Nobody ever receive pain or any suffering without a reason. Then right away the question rise, but what about this little kid? He did not even come out of his crib. What sins this kid made? The answer, and I already repeated it a few times in the past in my lectures, if you listen, you know what I'm talking about. There is no such a thing, kids, in the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is bodies and there are souls. How big is the body? How old is the body? It's really not so relevant. The soul has already been here in many different bodies, and we look at this new baby who were born, who were just beginning to walk. We look at him as a brand new product who just started his life, and that's where the mistakes come from. This is not a little kid, this is an adult. 5-6 years ago, he passed away when he was 70, 80, 90 years old in a different parts of the world. Maybe he spoke a different language. Maybe a male was female or the other way around. And he has already X amount of mitzvot and X amount of averot that he carry from life to life. What we call life here, it's another optical mistake. In the Torah, the word life mentioned many times. If you review all of them, I had a whole lecture that's called Preparation for Eternal Life. I proved in that lecture, and you're gonna be able to get those CDs. We brought many CDs here for all of you today. In that lecture, I already proved that every time the Torah mentioned the word life, is not what we think life is. Life means life of eternity. The life of the soul, not the life of the body, because the body never lived and will never live. The body is only a box, a raw material. Raw material doesn't have life. The soul, it's endless, eternal, and the soul have life. The soul transfer from one body to another according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wish and how he designed the new test. And we all know these things. I'm sure you heard that before. But one thing we're not paying attention to. When we see kids, always think this kid, this cute little baby, a few years ago was an old man or an old woman who lived here 80, 90 years and have X amount of things that they have to be judged for. And that's why they were sent back to this life with limitation or sicknesses, lo aleinu, and all kinds of things like that. There is a question in Torah, who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer first? The actual sick person who cried for his life or everyone around him? We know there is a rule, kol ha-mitpalel al chavero na'ana tchila. Your friend doesn't have a shidduch, and you also does not have a shidduch. Both of you wants to get married. If you pray for yourself or you pray for your friend, based on this rule, you pray for your friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you the shidduch faster, which means it's a very good investment. Not to be selfish, to think about others. It's all measure for measure. You think about others, I think about you. You want to save my children from spiritual death? I will protect your children from spiritual death. You help the sick? I will prevent your children from getting sicknesses. This is a very familiar concept in Judaism. Measure for measure. Midah keneged midah. But there's still one question that we have to understand. What is it? When a person found out that he doesn't feel well, he has a sickness, and he begins to cry for his life, he begins to read Tehillim, he prays with Kavana, and his friend that just found out the same thing prays the same. Which prayer has better ability to save the situation of that patient? Which one you think? Technically, based on the rule I just mentioned, other people who pray for him should affect more. But that's not what we see in the Torah. We see in the Torah something very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, listen to your wife Sarah, she's a prophet. She told you to get rid of Ishmael and his mother, do it. That's the right thing to do. So Avraham gave them bread and water and sent them to the desert to die. What was the chance that they will survive? Very small. They have to rely on a miracle. At one point, Ishmael was about to die. He maybe had a few more hours to live. His mother did not want to see her son dying, so she put him somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and she went to a different place to cry for him. She was crying as a natural reaction of a mother to her baby, also by the animals, it's the same thing. If you watch animal movies, you know that the mother always willing to give her life for her babies. Even by animals, it's a natural instinct. So, the mother of Ishmael, Hagar, she's crying somewhere, and Ishmael also is crying for his life. What does the Torah say? Vayishma Hashem lekol hanar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the prayer of Ishmael before he accepted the prayer of his mother. I give you another example. Avraham Avinu decided to be the attorney of all the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. What is it like? Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes today to the chief rabbi of Israel, chief rabbi of the world, Rav Chaim Kanievsky or Rav Steinman, one of them, and he said to him, Kvod Harav, I want to fill you up on my plan. I'm going to destroy 5 major cities in the United States that is full with wicked people, without going into names. Use your imagination. I'm about to destroy the life of millions of people to pay them for all their sins. I want to tell you that's what I'm about to do. Imagine now the rabbi stops everything he's doing and begins to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Maybe there's few tzaddikim over there. Why you want to destroy the place? Give them another chance. Don't kill them. Maybe there's another way. That's basically what Avraham Avinu did. Hashem said to him, I'm cleaning the world from all the wicked people who destroyed my world. And Avraham is arguing with Hashem, no, maybe you find 10 over here and 10 over there. After all the arguments, Avraham Avinu lost. He did not win the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to continue with his plan. But Hashem wanted to save his nephew Lot, thanks to Avraham Avinu. So he sent angels to Sodom to protect Lot and take him out of there before he dropped an atomic bomb from heaven on their heads. That's exactly what happened. On the way, Lot said to the angel said to him, escape to the mountain. That's where you're going to be safe. Don't turn your back. Don't look back. Run quickly to the mountain because in a few minutes this place will be destroyed. So Lot is saying to the angel, I'm a sick person. I'm not going to make it to the mountain. It's very hard for me. If you force me to go all the way up to the mountain, I will die on the way. I'm sick. I'm destroyed mentally. I'm about to lose everything I built over here. I moved here to Manhattan. I bought real estate. I established my life. Now you're giving me 1 hour to leave everything behind and escape to an empty mountain. Mentally, I cannot handle my situation. Plus, I'm going to die. Maybe you agree that I'm going to go to the city of Tzoar. Tzoar was in the list of the places that needs to be destroyed. So Lot is asking the angel, I'm sick, I'm broken, have mercy on me. Let me go to this city. And the angel said to him, okay, I will accept your request. You go over there. And the whole city will get saved because we have to protect you. So all the wicked people will get saved because you will be there. Not that you are righteous, but because of Avraham Avinu. Pay attention to what's happening here. Avraham Avinu, the only tzaddik at that time, was speaking directly to Hashem. Hashem did not accept his request. He could not make the case. Lot is getting saved thanks to Avraham. And Lot now is saving the whole city of the wicked people because he requested to go there instead of to the mountain. What sense does it make? The answer is, when a person is sick, it takes away all the happiness of his life. Lev nishbar venitke Elokim lo tifze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit the sick person inside where he is, in a hospital, in his bedroom. That's why when we go to visit the sick, we have to stand. Why? The Shekhinah is right above his head. We have many sources of it. We not always pay attention to it, how important it is. Bikur cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham Avinu on a third day after he circumcised himself, because it's the hardest day of his sickness. He came to visit the sick. The Gemara says everyone who visits the sick person takes away 1/68 of his sickness. What does it mean? That the disease that is in his body now, 1.5% of it goes to the visitor? In that case, after 65 visitors, no one should be sick. There would be a great way out of it. Every kid that is sick, we organize 65 people. They all come, read one chapter of Tehillim, and Shalom Aleich Nafshi. Everyone will be healthy, Baruch Hashem. That's not what it means. It means mentally. Mentally. You should know one thing about the brain of the human being. Two people that have the same sickness. One has hope, the other one gave up hope. Who has a much, much, much higher chance to recover? The one with the hope. What hope, which is a spiritual thing, has to do with the physical sickness? If there is a physical sickness that eats the body from inside, who cares what the brain has? What you're thinking, if you're thinking about Torah or you're thinking about something else. The sickness is reality. The answer is, all the physical sicknesses is a mirror of the soul of the human being. In the time of the Ari HaKadosh 500 years ago, when a person had a sickness in one of his 613 organs, he used to come to the Ari HaKadosh without MRI, without hundreds of thousands of dollars hospital bills. The Ari used to tell him, where do you have the sickness and the pain? And he used to tell him, what sin did you do and how to correct it, that the sickness will go away. That's how clear he was to a holy person 500 years ago. We don't have people like this today, unfortunately. So we have to go to the doctors and do everything we can. The Gemara says when someone found out that he has a sick person in his home, he should run to the Chacham. On his way to the doctor, he must make a stop by the Chacham, by the Tzaddik that knows Torah. What does the Tzaddik that knows Torah and learns Gemara can help someone that his kid just was, you know, they just found out that he's not feeling well? What is the connection? There are a few connections here. One, they proved in the United States that people that pray, Jews and non-Jews, they pray to God to help them with their sicknesses, their chances to recover is much, much, much higher than people who does not pray. All doctors that took care of cancer patients, they always say to the Jewish people, the statistic that we have for kids with cancer does not apply to the Orthodox community, the Jewish Orthodox community. You have different statistics. Non-Jewish doctors say that. I heard it many, many times. Why? You have some kind of a connection. You scream to your God. He goes out of the nature. The statistic doesn't apply to you. By you, it's a different name. Why the Chacham can help? If the Chacham breaks his heart when he found out that someone from his community has a sick kid in his house, when the Chacham gets upset and may even have a tear or two, right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the sickness of that boy or girl in a different way. It's not only his problem, it's not only his parents' problem, now it became an issue of this Chacham, this Tzaddik. And the Tzaddik is upset, and I'm not happy about it. And because of that, I'm going to go out of my way and make a clear miracle here. And it's increased the chances a lot. Not chas v'shalom that we have to give up the doctors, we still have to do ishtadlut. But without hope, the chances are much, much lower to get saved. Everybody here should know one thing. There is an obligation to be noseh ba'olim chavero, as I said before. When the Jews came after the Holocaust, they arrived to Seaport, to downtown Manhattan. As they're waiting for the people to pull the boat to the port, some of their relatives here, the Jews of America, were standing over here and they're waving, "Hi, Moishale! Hi, Zalman! I wish you would come 1 week earlier. We had a wonderful bar mitzvah to our son in a Plaza Hotel. We're so sorry you missed it." And those Jews that look like sardines after the horrors that they've been through, they look at their cousins or uncles that lived here in America, how wealthy and healthy they are, and how they wave and speak about nonsense bar mitzvah party in a Plaza Hotel when they came out of Gehenom on earth. Many of them took the pair of tefillin from frustration and threw it into the water. By the Statue of Liberty, between the Statue of Liberty to the port of downtown Manhattan, there's hundreds of pairs of tefillin under the water. They just couldn't tolerate the fact that their brothers and cousins and uncles were dancing in a Plaza Hotel when other people getting killed and lose everything they have. Why? Same thing today. People are getting bombed in Israel. People are in shelter. People have no life. People live with fear. And some people wants to go on vacations, trips, Europe, hotels, parties. What's going on here? This is one nation. If a part of the body is sick, the rest of the body is supposed to suffer, not to celebrate. I want to finish my things here with one encouraging thing. You should know one thing. The Gemara says, "Afilu cherev munachat al tzavaro shel ha'adam al yitya'esh min harachamim." Second before it's over, there's still a hope that you get saved. Not to give up, never to give up. And mamash, because my time ran out, I'll tell you a story that will take 30 seconds that happened by me. There was a rabbi from Kiryat Sefer in Israel. He got to me through people, and he asked me if he can stay by my house for a few days, from Thursday night until Monday morning, with his son. He's bringing his son to get a surgery in his eye. One eye became blind because he had a growth inside the eye that blocks the vision of the eye, and the growth is keep growing. So they have to make a complicated surgery to remove it and to return the vision to that eye. So he said, we were supposed to do it this week, but it was postponed to Monday. So we're looking for a place to be on Shabbat. Can we come to you? I said, of course. They came to my house. We tried to do everything to make this boy happy. It was mamash, around 13 years old boy. And then they went over there to Philadelphia, to the eye center, and they found out there's nothing they can do. The doctor said he will not be able to see in this eye. There's nothing we can do. He went back to Israel. Then he went to England. He went to Liverpool. The same thing. He came back home, and it was completely frustrated and broken heart. My boy will not see in his eye. After 6 months, he calls me up and he says, you're not gonna believe what just happened. I know this story sounds out of this world, but I told you, I'm a witness, it happened with me. I'm the one who got the call. He told me, I wanna tell you what a miracle just happened. My boy said that he cannot see in the other eye. So I had to take him to eye test to put a contact lens in his eye. As they examined the eye, when they came to put the contact lens inside, the nurse made a mistake. She put it in the wrong eye, the blind eye. And the boy said, I'm beginning to see a little bit with his eye. After they did all the tests on the other eye, in the end, who would ever believe that they went to the biggest doctors in the world for eyes? None of them gave hope. And in the end, the nurse made a mistake. She put the contact lens on the wrong eye. And the boy said, I see now with the eye. And I said, how can it be? You're blind here already. He said, I see here. I'm able to see. His father was crying on the phone, telling me the story. So look what we've been through. We went to Philadelphia. We went to Liverpool. We paid so much money. Nobody gave us hope. In the end, out of nowhere, with $2. The eye started to work. Now the boy is about 20 years old. He sees. Everything is fine. One contact lens. One piece of plastic. That's called hope. Never to give up. Things can happen. Just when you think there's no chance, think again. There's a very, very big chance. Bezrat Hashem, I wish all these boys that needs refuah shlema, that Bezrat Hashem, they won't need the help of any organization. That they'll be all Briim v'shlemim, refuah shlema, and Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us that soon we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash. Times will change. We're not going to need any more hospitals and all these sufferings. But until it happens, we should never lose hope. Thank you very much. Have a good day.